So this morning, we're going to be blessed. So we have not one preacher, but two preachers. So buckle up for the next hour or two. Maybe not. All right. So we're going to have a great time. So let's welcome Pastor Ryan and his lovely wife, Michelle.
Wow, thank you very much. So this is actually the first time Michelle and I have preached together. We've obviously, you know, been on stage together before. We've done plenty of music and stuff, and it is a real honour. It was actually a nice challenge to put together what we've got for you today. And yesterday I saw something that said, a delightful marriage is one where each spouse thinks they got the better end of the deal. So Michelle and I talked about this, and we agreed that I was definitely the one that got the better end of the deal. So that is my introduction to Michelle, who is going to start us off today. And yeah, can you please make her feel very welcome?
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Okay. Well, this will be fun. Won't it? Okay, so we're talking today about Kingdom Family. And so, yeah, I thought it'd be a good way to start by saying, what actually is Kingdom Family? So I went to Google, just to get some, you know, people's ideas and thoughts on that. And I found this one. Are you going to do that? Yep. Oh, I found this one. Okay, and it pretty much sums up what Kingdom Family is. The kingdom means the reign of God in the lives of his people, embracing them to serve him wholeheartedly and to live the kind of life Jesus died to give us. In other words, the kingdom of God in its simplest form is the reign of Jesus Christ as Lord and King in our lives. It is his Holy Spirit working in us, through us, and around us in such a way that we actually live and do the will of God. So that was by Jean Mims. So I don't know who that is, but thanks, Jean. And so when I was praying and I was saying, Lord, what direction do you want me to take with this message today? And I just got the words family reunion. And so I just really felt God's heart just for his family to gather together, regardless of denomination, just to come together as his people, as his children, as his sons and daughters. And so, yeah, his heart for that is so strong and so powerful, and I feel like we're moving into that now. So, who here has been to a family reunion? Yep. So you all kind of know how they work. So families gather together, they meet together, they deliberately make arrangements to come and join, and it's all generations, it's people that might not have seen each other for years, and they've made this deliberate act to join together. So when we're talking about Kingdom Family Reunion, it is about God's people from all generations gathering together and making a deliberate effort to celebrate our spiritual heritage and our future heritage. So basically, this is what we do every Sunday. We have a family reunion every week. You know, and in the natural, you know, when you get together, you kind of see how people look like people in your family, and it's kind of exciting. Go, oh, that person looks like such and such. And so with the family of God, that's how it is. We can see the likeness of God through his people. Okay. So when we think about the bigger picture of this family reunion, it means gathering with all believers, those who proclaim Jesus is Lord and King, no matter what denomination or how they choose to do things, or even if things they do we just don't understand. And how do we do this? It's the importance of partnering with Holy Spirit and his church, and joining in other events or church services or gatherings that actually might not be our cup of tea, or it might not be your thing, or it can make you a little uncomfortable. And I'm not saying that every event that you have to go to, I think it's just important to partner with Holy Spirit, say, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to partner with? And the importance of stepping out and honouring that. So partnering with the Holy Spirit should be our priority. So there's been times that Ryan and I have been led to go to different events, and it can seem a bit radical, like it could be a late night, we'll travel to Melbourne, or we might just go to an event down the road, or sometimes we've driven to Queensland. We've flown to America, New Zealand, just to partner with something that we know the Lord's on. And so the importance of just being led in that. And sometimes you might not even see the outcome of why you felt led to join in with something. Sometimes it might be very clear, but sometimes it might not be. But the Lord is connecting his kingdom. And we look back and we can just see where we've partnered with Holy Spirit and joined something. We can see the outcome of it now. Sometimes down the track, we've seen how the Lord's connected us with certain people that, you know, is for a time and a season. Okay, how are you all doing? All right. Good. All right. I just got to breathe. All right. So the importance of the global kingdom family being united, and it's for the world. You know, when the church is united, it's actually for the unbelievers to see the church united and a unified voice. So Jesus says, if you want to look up these scriptures, you can too, or you can just read them on the screen. So in John 13, verse 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? Do you think that's what the world sees yet? I don't know yet, but I feel like it's coming. We're getting there. So I see that this is starting to happen across the earth. There are different denominations joining together, working together to impact cities, regions and nations. Things like Awakening Australia or Awakening Europe. There's a Hillsong conference that happens every year where people come from all over the world, all generations joining together. And another big event in Australia is Together Conference, which is happening in a town called Maroopna. And that also, though, is joining churches of many denominations to come together, to be unified, to glorify our Lord, which is so amazing. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm at a large gathering and I look around and I see people from all denominations, from all generations, just worshiping God, I don't know, I get so moved by just seeing that. And I think, how does the Lord feel when he sees that? I know, it just so moves me, and it moves the Father's heart. Okay. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Oh, I've got. So it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just want to look back on the word surpasses knowledge. And this is a question. Do you think that could be referring to our denominational doctrines or belief systems that surpasses all of our understanding, our knowledge? And when our faith is established in love, then all of the Lord's holy people will have power that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is within work, that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just wanted to focus on the throughout all generations, because God's heart is for all people and all generations. We are the now generation. If you're alive, you are part of the now generation. Hey, so we're all part of the now generation, which is made up of all the ages, from youngest to the oldest. And I've heard words about how the Lord's going to move through the youth and through the young people, and I truly believe it, and I say bring it on. But I also believe that he's going to move through the middle-aged, the seniors, and the elderly as well. So it's all generations. His heart is for all generations. So don't think you've missed the boat because you're not a youth anymore. I think we've got to know that God's heart is for all generations and all people. So he wants to move through you. His heart is for family, and revival is for all. And we are coming into a time that his spirit is being poured out upon all generations. So in Acts chapter 2:7, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And so I kind of came up with, like, I just had the Lord was sharing that his heart is for all generations. And I came across this clip by Chris Vellatin, which I'd like to watch. Give me a breather.
And the Lord said to me, revival is not coming from the youth. He said, my prophets are speaking from the second heaven. He said, revival is coming from one generation. Old, young, middle age, from one generation. And he said, if you say that revival is coming from the youth, what are you saying to the middle age, and what are you saying to the elders? Now, I began to realize Acts 2:14 says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on, help me, all flesh, not your sons and your daughters, but all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Even upon your bondservants will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. How many know revival doesn't have a gender? Help me, ladies. Revival doesn't have a gender. It doesn't have a generation, old and young. And it doesn't have a social class, even upon your bondservants. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you're included.
Amen to that. Hey, how good does he articulate that? So good. That's what I'm trying to say anyway. So, the Lord is after all generations. So you haven't missed the boat. He's after your heart, and you are going to transform your city, your nation, through what you are called to do. So amen to that. I'd like to pass on to Ryan. He'll bring it home.
Thanks, Michelle. All right. So I'd like to start with a quote as well. Patrick, I'm pretty sure this is not working, so I'll leave it to you to guide it and steer it. So the quote is something I saw a little while ago, and it says, Christianity would change overnight if it put down the mantle of defending God and picked up the responsibility of loving enemies. And look, there's so much in that, and I looked at that, and it's probably in itself a sermon for another time. But I want to focus on the second half of that, and then I'm going to adjust it. And so that second half is loving enemies. And we know that Jesus called us to love our enemies. And the church especially needs to do that. And I fully believe the sentiment in this quote that Christianity would change, and indeed the world would change, if that was our focus. But as we've kind of alluded to, and as we know things are getting better, how can we expect to love our enemies when some Christians have enough trouble loving fellow believers? And so Jesus calls us to love our enemies, but the reality is we know we actually know that some Christians don't love their own fellow believers. There's an old phrase that the church is great at shooting. What's the word? It's shooting its wounded or something like that. I can't remember. It's obviously not a very famous phrase. The only army that shoots its wounded, that's what it is. So I've got a couple of pictures here that I'd like to go through. This is Jen Johnson. Now, Jen Johnson is with her husband, Brian, the worship pastor at Bethel Church. And, you know, she's written songs that we do here, and she's an amazing woman. Recently, as in this year, she went to the Grammy Awards, which is a music awards. And would you believe she copped flack from Christians for even turning up to the awards? And so people just threw out attacks at her that she was, you know, mixing with people who were worldly. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. And so because she was associating with people that were, you know, not church folk, so people criticized her. Patrick, this next person is Lauren Daigle. Now, Lauren Daigle, actually, she's a Christian artist. She's a singer. She's put out some very successful Christian albums. And she's actually got a song that's being played on commercial radio right now, which is, it's amazing. It was part of the I Am performance that we saw a couple of weeks ago, which my sister Kyla put on. And this is a song that carries the gospel in it. And here it is being played on the radio. But Lauren Daigle made a bit of a mistake, according to some Christians. She appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And would you believe that because of that, because she appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show, people called her a fake Christian. Comments like, I had just a quick look on YouTube about what people were saying, and I could not believe that the attacks she was getting came from within the church body. It came from people who said, well, you know, we're Christians, and if she was a Christian, she would not go on that show. And here she was singing a song about resurrection power on a international program, which was viewed on YouTube alone 3.9 million times. At the end of the episode, Ellen DeGeneres gave everyone a copy of her CD. And so, does the Lord work in mysterious ways? I think so. It's incredible the opportunity she had. And this was her response to that. She said, I think the second we start drawing lines around which people are able to be approached and which aren't, we've already completely missed the heart of God. She said, I don't have all the answers in life. I'm definitely not going to act like I do. But the one thing I know for sure is I can't choose who I'm supposed to be kind to and who I'm supposed to show love to and who I'm not, because that's the mission. Be who Christ was to everyone. That was her response to the people who attacked her. This next person, he cops a fair bit of flack from the church. He's trying to get into the church, people. Justin Bieber he was raised in a Christian home. He attended Hillsong Conference a little while ago. And he's actually a man who's honest about his struggles. He's struggling to find his place in God. He's trying to work it out. And again, time and time again, I see, you know, just comments from people who, you know, well, if he was a Christian, he wouldn't be doing this. But if he was a Christian, well, he wouldn't look like, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't do that. The guy's openly trying to work it out. He's sharing his struggles. And I think God's doing a beautiful thing in him. Let's move on to the next person. You may have heard of this person. This is Katy Perry. She was also raised in a Christian home. And, you know, I'm going to stand here and say, look, I don't listen to Katy Perry's music, and that's my personal choice. But Katy Perry is someone who's also trying to work it out. I think she's a prodigal daughter right up there. She performed at the Super Bowl, which is a massive event in America. It's probably like the grand final on steroids, and it's a big deal if you get to perform at it. And Katy Perry said this in an interview before her performance at the Super Bowl. She said, I over-prepared myself. I did a lot of prayer, meditation. I was praying and I got a word from God and he says, you got this and I got you. Well, that's interesting. And then she said that there was some random guy with a headset looked at her just before she went on and he looked at her and he said, you got this. The same words she believed God had spoken to her. And so she actually told the interviewer, this is God confirming that I can do this. That same day on her Twitter account, she wrote to her 64 million Twitter followers, today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Does that mean her lifestyle is perfect? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. Does it mean that she's trying to work it out? Absolutely. She's trying to sort out what is going on with her relationship with God. And the sad thing I see is that the people who are making the biggest blockages to her doing that are the people within the church. And I think that's something that we need to look at. And so I'm going to go one further with this next person. This is Lady Gaga. Now, already I can sense the discomfort in the room that I'm talking about Lady Gaga, and that's okay. Lady Gaga posted a picture of herself with a priest on Instagram a little while ago. She'd been to Mass, and she really liked one of the things the priest had said, and so she put it on there, and that was the Eucharist, which is communion, is not a prize for the perfect, but the food that God gives us. So she'd written that. It had moved her enough to share with her millions of followers. A Christian website responded to that and said, many celebrities are sharing Bible verses, quoting priests, singing Christian music, while at the same time still leading a typical Hollywood lifestyle void of Christian values such as modesty and purity. There. And Lady Gaga responded to that beautifully. She named the person who wrote that and said, dear name, Mary Magdalene washed the feet of Christ and was protected and loved by him. She was a prostitute. She's someone society shames as if she and her body are a man's trash can. But Jesus loved her and did not judge. He let her cry over him and dry his feet with the hair of a harlot. We are not just celebrities. We are humans. We are sinners. Children, and our lives are not void of values because we struggle. We are as equally forgiven as our neighbor. God is not a trend, no matter who the believer. It sounds a bit like confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, which is straight out of the book of James. So what is your response if someone comes up to you and says, oh, you know, Lady Gaga, she's got a radical faith? I wonder what your response would be if I asked you that. I asked Michelle this question yesterday. And I told her I'd do this. Michelle, what is your response if I say Lady Gaga has a radical faith?
I would say I just have such a heart for her. When I see her, I know the Lord's heart is for her. And so, actually, that's what I would say, Ryan.
Perfect. I knew she would say that. That's brilliant. Would that be your response? Or would you sit there and go, oh, well, I've read some of her lyrics. Or I've seen what she wears. Really? What about what you say around your dinner table? What if that was exposed? What about your conversation in the church car park? What if that was exposed? You see, you may not think that Lady Gaga fits in the Christian world, but I'm sure Jesus makes room for her in his. You may not welcome people like Lady Gaga to your table, but I know Jesus invites her. And I'm not telling you to go and listen to her. In fact, that's the last thing I'm going to do. All I'm saying is, when someone mentions this, are you going to use that as an opportunity to say, hey, I'm praying for that person. I can tell she's trying to work it out. Or are you just going to dismiss her? Have her be like, the sheep that got lost because you kicked her out. Is that how you would respond? This is actually something Lady Gaga said. She said, I'm very religious. I was raised Catholic. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I'm very spiritual. I pray. At the same time, there isn't one religion that doesn't hate or speak against or is prejudiced against another racial group or religious group or sexual group. I guess you could say I'm a very religious woman who is confused about religion. Where I read that quote, the guy writing it said, welcome to my world. He said, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled pastor, and I am also confused about religion. How good is it that the gospel and religion are two separate things? It's not religion that's going to change the world. It's not even Christianity that's going to change the world. It's the gospel that will change the world. And I've got a quote here by a guy I really admire called Carlos Rodriguez. And he said, the gospel Jesus preached is God's perfect statement of love and grace. Christianity is just our response to that message. The gospel is the good news of salvation to all people everywhere. Christianity is the imperfect expression of the people who receive and acknowledge that news. And again, so it's okay for me and Lady Gaga if an expression of Christianity does not suit our style or age or preference. That is the beauty of family. We can honour and celebrate each other without having to agree on everything. This next picture, the main picture. I was going to say, does anyone recognise who those people are? But I just realised I put a caption there, so this makes it a bit easy, doesn't it? So we've got on the left-hand side a guy called Francis Chan. We've got Benny Hinn in the middle. I'm not sure who the guy is in between those two, but the guy on the other side is Jean-Luc Trachel. And this photo was a selfie taken at a conference called The Send, which everything I read about that conference, it looked like a conference or an event similar to Awakening. And Francis Chan actually posted this picture on his own social media. And it went into a frenzy because he had openly spoken about against the prosperity gospel. And Benny Hinn has often been accused of being immersed in the prosperity gospel and even said, look, there's probably been times I've taken it too far. Do they both love Jesus? I'm pretty convinced of that. And so when he posted this picture, people thought that these two people can't be in unity. They have different views on what the Bible teaches about prosperity. They can't be in unity. What on earth is he's going against? He's compromising these two Christian pastors. I don't know much about Francis Chan. I just know that he's spoken against prosperity. And I probably don't know much about Benny Hinn, to be truthful. But I thought, isn't that weird that these two guys can't even meet each other at an event and acknowledge and admire each other's gifts? Someone wrote this about this particular picture and about the outcry. Like, I saw this picture over and over again and there were people who were really upset about it. It was just made no sense to me. But someone said this, at this event, no one promoted their ministry, but all directed the thousands gathered that day to worship our Saviour, send us out for revival to the nations. Without unity, there would have been no Pentecost. Without unity, there will be no revival. Get a grip, church, and get together. Patrick, can I have the next slide, please? I don't see anything about a difference between doctrines in this very famous passage about unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There the Lord bestows his blessing. Another translation is commands his blessing. When we live in unity. That was the beauty of what I saw at Awakening Australia and even what we do it together. The beauty of non-denominational unity. It's people working together. I've got friends in different denominations all over the place and I think it's great. Michelle and I were privileged to be at a sort of pre-Awakening leaders meeting before the event. And Ben Fitzgerald talked about some of the things that happened in the lead up to Awakening, because it was a multi-denominational event, you know, people calling him, or before we commit, we just want to know which churches are involved, because, you know, are Hillsong going to be part of it? I heard Bethel's going to be part of it. Are you involving the Salvation Army? Are you involving this? You know, could people deciding, are we going to partner with this or not because of other denominations that they may not have been comfortable with? Fascinating. He said from the platform, he said, we're not going to be divided into denominations in heaven. My voice went funny there. I'll say that again. We're not going to be divided into separate denominations in heaven. It's not going to be the case. Last year we had a lunch as part of Together, and it involves ministers and pastors and priests from various denominations. And it was just beautiful to see the unity amongst the people involved. And so I want to finish with a couple of things. This next scripture comes from Galatians, and it's kind of like an addition, in my opinion, to the one Michelle mentioned. We both came up with this scripture, which was, you know, Jesus says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. But it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So when you hear of someone who's, you know, trying to work out their faith, they're trying to work out their salvation, that's an opportunity. If you disagree with that person's lifestyle, to say, "How I'm going to pray for that person." It's not to elevate yourself above them. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. These next two slides I'm going to show the power of a global family. And Michelle and I have talked a little bit about, there it is, we've talked a little bit about, you know, things we've seen online and things like that. And we live in an age where the family of believers is more connected across the world than it has ever been. And if you don't know the story behind this particular picture is a shot taken of the congregation during the filming and recording of the song Raise a Hallelujah. And this little boy over here on our right, his name's Jackson, and that's his dad holding him, that's his mum and sister there as well. And Jackson, just before Christmas 2017, was admitted to hospital, and he was in ICU, and there was a whole bunch of things going on with him, and he was basically on death's door. And his father is the CEO of Bethel Music, and they just put out a call to prayer. Now, if this was 100 years ago, I would imagine that their own church community would have prayed. But because it was 2017, and as I said, we live in an age where we can get the message out to people really quickly, thousands of Christians around the world knew about this and prayed. I remember when it happened, and you know, it was one of these things that everyone around the world was praying for this little boy's life. And this particular photo, the song that Tom was leading before, Raise a Hallelujah, was even born out of the prayers for this boy. In fact, the guy that wrote that song, he that night he was so convinced that God was, you know, that this was it, that that Jackson wasn't going to live. He said, I'm just going to praise you, God. I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of this potential tragedy that's going to happen. Can we see the next slide, please, Patrick? So that's little Jackson there. If you watch the footage, he's got his hand raising. Like, it's amazing. It was a miracle. And I put that to the power of a global family at work, praying together, connected in a way that only can happen thanks to, you know, prayer and the connectedness of, you know, social media. It wouldn't have happened without it. Not to say that Jackson wouldn't have been saved, but I'm talking about the thousands of people who knew about this and prayed for this little boy. So, as the band comes up, I've got two more pictures I want to show you, and then that will finish. Patrick, love is the culture of revival. The next revival will look like healthy family. Michelle and I have talked a lot about family. And this church, we've talked a lot about revival. It's something we want to see. We want to see this community impacted. It's our heart for it. and it will look like healthy family. So we're going to be people who exclude just because someone doesn't look or act or we don't know them or they're a celebrity, they're untouchable, we can say what we like about them? Or are we going to include people even in our language, even in our speech, and be inclusive? One of my favorite pictures, this cartoon, is Jesus and a whole bunch of people. I love this so much. We draw the lines to separate each other, and Jesus is busy rubbing them out. It's a great picture. And I'm going to hand it over to Shell now, who's going to finish it up. Yep.
All right. I just love this guy here at the front. He's like, what are you doing? I just love that, though. It's such a good image. Like, that's what Jesus' heart is. He's not about denomination. He's about his children. And so I think a great way to finish today would be, let's stand, let's pray together. Let's pray for the churches of this region. Let's pray for the churches of this nation. Let's pray for the global church. So let's just take a few minutes. Let's stir up our faith this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your heart, for your children, for your bride, for your church. Father God, I pray that we as your children would partner with you in how you see your children. And it's not about denomination, it's not about things that separate us, but it's about what joins us together, and that's you, Jesus. And I just pray for everyone in this room right now, Lord, I pray just for that revelation of your truth, that revelation of how you see the church. That then we would see through your eyes, Jesus, that we would see how you see, Lord. I pray for the churches of this region, Lord God. Thank you that we get to join with them, Lord, that we get to unite with them, regardless of our differences. But Lord, thank you that we can join together because of you. That you bring unity because we follow you, that we follow our Father's footsteps, Father God. It's all about your business, Lord God. Let us be about the Father's business. Let us be about his heart for his children. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we lift up this nation of Australia, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you are pouring out your Spirit upon all people, upon all generations, Father God, that we are about to see something great and mighty happen in this nation, Lord God. And I just pray that it begins with each one of us, that we would step into the call that you've called us to be and who you've called us to be, Jesus. That we step in to follow you, Jesus. That we join hand by hand to people all around us, Lord God, that we choose, Lord God, to partner with people who follow you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all generations. Thank you for the youth. Thank you for the young people. Thank you for the little children, Lord. Thank you that you speak powerfully through each one of them, Lord. Thank you for the middle-aged and the seniors and the elderly, Lord God. And I just break off the lie that your time is done, because it's not. It's just beginning. The best is yet to come. And we pray that over each person in this room today, Father God, that we would see a great, mighty move of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your church, Lord. Thank you for your radiant bride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, whether it's prayer for how to love your neighbor, or if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know him, or you've walked away from Jesus, to be included back. I know Jesus waits for you with open arms. And we just want to give you this opportunity to come to the front. And Michelle and I would be honoured to pray for you. If you need healing for anything, healing for absolutely anything. We've seen the miraculous power of God before. This is an opportunity for that. So the band's going to sing a song. We're just going to worship God one more time this morning. We're always worshiping God. But if you want prayer, please come forward.